Well, Martha got more than she bargained for when she came out there and yelled at her sister. St. Paul said, in offering hospitality to others, some of you have entertained angels without knowing it. That certainly applies to the first reading. It's interesting because 1,000 years separate Martha and Mary entertaining Jesus, who, though they knew him and were three of his best friends with Lazarus, they only partially understood that he was God. You know, he hadn't risen from the dead yet. They understood as much as they could. And over here we have Abraham, literally 1,000 years earlier. And they're both offering the same thing, which is hospitality. This is a Semitic custom that is still true today, if you go there. And it's true in other cultures as well. My grandmother certainly wouldn't let anybody go out without a meal, and you insulted her if you didn't eat all of it, you know, that sort of thing. But to offer hospitality with a meal and to converse with somebody and to take time with them, to not do that, to wash their feet. It will just say, Abraham did this, no doubt. Mary did this. Somebody at Bible study pointed out, was probably there washing his feet. That would have been normative. All those years remained the same. So we start with Abraham, and this is something that hit me, that, you know, it's funny, when you read the gospel, there's always something new. If we're open to the Holy Spirit, we'll pull some new insight out of these scriptures. So here come these three angels. They're described as three, yet Abraham addresses them as one. It's a veiled image of the Trinity that's already occurring in Genesis. It is God himself coming and walking in his creation and unknown, which is the way it's been since the fall. We cannot see God face to face. It's always with a hidden quality to it, always, whether it's an angel or God or whatever. So they're coming toward Abraham. He doesn't expect many guests. He's a Bedouin, you know. He's camped in a certain area. He sees them coming, and he goes out to greet them immediately, not knowing who they are. In a way, it's a peace offering in case they're an enemy. There was a political element to this ritual that would occur. And he's very hospitable to them, of course. And Sarah is in the tent because that was the rules in those days. But she was listening there, and, you know, she laughed at the end of this reading that when she heard that she was going to have a child, she's 99 years old, you know, that sort of thing. So they have the... Abraham offers hospitality to God, essentially, and he doesn't realize what he's doing. On the other hand, look where the angels are going. Where are they headed, these three angels? Who can tell me? Sodom and Gomorrah, that's right. They are headed, but they took a turn to stop at Abraham. Remember, Lot chose the area around Sodom and Gomorrah. And even today, you can find there is a town up at the one end of the valley there. And back 3,000 years ago, the climate was different. It could have been quite lush there. But so Abraham wasn't that far away from Lot down in the valley. So off they go to Sodom and Gomorrah. What kind of reception do they receive at Sodom and Gomorrah? They get together. The inhabitants want to rape them. See the difference between the two? And we find in our lives that God is testing us. We are not here just to have a good time and a full belly and all the rest of it. We love all these things. I love them as much as you do. But periodically, God will remind us that we're here only for a certain while, only until our mission is fulfilled, and we won't know that mission fully until after we're gone. The mission is often to individuals, and hospitality is a way of saying welcoming people. Notice how Martha and Mary welcome Jesus. He's welcome in their home to be himself. He wants to construct within us, he's a carpenter, a home where he is free to come and go. And that means when he goes, we still believe he loves us. Sometimes he delays coming with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. We still love him. And so there is a home within us where he is welcome, and he feeds us with the Eucharist rather than we feeding him. But we look at this, and as St. Paul said, many of us have had similar experiences, and we do not know it. I'd say most of us have, all of us have an angel, and many of us have met an angel, and it was in disguise. They're only allowed to reveal themselves when God permits it. There's all kinds of books about mysterious beings and this sort of thing that help people out. We can't say for certain what they are. We have to use a lot of discernment with this. I've heard a lot of stories, and they sound very credible to me, particularly at near-death experiences. I prayed about this, and I have one story. I've told it probably a couple times here, certainly in classes with kids and stuff, but the Lord kind of called me to tell you again, because it's one of the most significant ones that I've ever had, and I know it was meant for all of my parishioners. It happened long before I was a priest, almost 30 years ago. Some of you remember this, and some of you never heard it. It was when I met five mysterious strangers with a good friend of mine, and they were very mysterious. I was about to enter the seminary, it was 28 years ago, and I was going to have lunch with a friend of mine that was taking over all of my parish jobs. Some of you have had these. I was head of Eucharist ministers for the 5:30 Sunday Mass. I went to that one because I was working Saturday and Sunday with the airline at that time. And I was sacristan. I had the key and did all that stuff and was a lector and communion of the sick. So he was going to do all those things. And I'm entering the seminary, and he's this guy that's going to be doing all these things. And we're headed to Bob's Big Boy. And as we turn the corner where the parking lot's over here, we run into a young family, probably about 30 and 28, and three little kids, about 7, 5, and 2, just starting to walk, okay? Holding the kid, and they said, "Can we have some money for the bus? We want to go to South Central LA. We don't have enough." What do you think? Is it a scam? Is it real? Nobody knows. You know what we did? Remember the story? We did nothing. Isn't this awful? We walked away from them without saying a word. They're right here, okay? We got no further than this, and we looked at each other like two biggest hams since Easter, and we said to each other, "Let's invite them in for a meal." Notice how it's like Abraham. We said, let's invite him in to eat, and then we'll give him some money. Let's test this out. We turned around, and they were gone. They disappeared into thin air, and there was no place they could have gone at all. It was six-lane road here, four-lane road here. No car picked them up. It wasn't long enough to go anywhere. They just simply had disappeared. And they were angels, you know? And the reason that we caught them, or they allowed themselves to be seen by not being seen, is because we turned around. We repented. We changed our mind. We didn't get it right the first time, but we got it right the second time. And in so doing, although I'm not saying we have to be we have to give money to every person that's at the end of the freeway or something. We have to be generous in some area of our lives. That's the important thing. The thing is that God, we are here to grow and to learn, and God is going to help us. He doesn't want us to fail the test. He simply wants us to understand what life is all about. When we come here, people that think they have no need for God or the church or the scriptures, they don't understand that life is not about just having a career and money and a big house and a lot of trips and what else can you think of? Good health and good looks and fame and everybody likes you, and it all comes to an end and then we just turn into nothing. Well, that's not what happens. What happens is immediately we have a review of our lives, and the question is, what did you do for others? What selfless acts did you commit in your life? Here is who you were sent to help. And, did you have faith in me, and how did you show it? Through your words and deeds. And that will come as a big surprise to a lot of people. And so we have, like I've said, Abraham on one side. Usually the consequences of this kind of action that Sodom and Gomorrah committed is not seen until a whole lifetime. But that was an immediate reaction because it was God himself that they had hurt. And the same was true with Jesus. He comes in and he receives hospitality. We have to ask ourselves what areas of this of our lives that we might have found Christ without knowing it. I've said this many times now, but the community dinner is a good example. I'm sure one of our angels or Christ got in line. One of you serving there have met him, or interfaith hospitality, or some of the things that we do. Many of you gave cans and bottles last week. I hate to tell you this, but somebody stole them all. The picture is in the bulletin. About $500 was lost of cans and bottles. Now, that was a lack of hospitality, wasn't it? That they're going to pay very heavily for that if they don't repent, because they stole it from the Lord himself and from each one of us. Huh, how about that? But you get the credit for donating them anyway. The youth aren't going to get the money, but it's a lesson in what the world thinks is important and what is really important to God. I think these kinds of lessons, Martha and Mary, I love discussing the difference between those two sisters. It's very funny. But it's also important to realize within that 1,000-year gap, hospitality, in other words, the way I interact with others is how I show my faith. This is where our mission in life is always going to be. It's not that our mission was not to put up a big church like this, but how did we act with each other while we were doing it? The whole point of everything in our lives is how can we be renewed? We just renewed the whole rectory. I've endured the whole thing. I think we're about done. But to me, it was the person on the inside hasn't changed. So you ask yourself, what little ways can we renew ourselves like we renew a building? In what ways has an angel perhaps come to you and rescued you from something? Or, on the other hand, may have asked you for something? The truth is, everyone that we are called to help is the Lord in disguise, whether it's a real angel or a human being. We don't know for sure. But we do know that God notices everything, and he will be generous beyond belief for whatever we have done for him, because that is really the purpose of life.